And Father, we stand before you in awe of who you are, what you've done and what you're doing. And we ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace, your continued counsel, correction, and direction, for your healing, for your deliverance, and for freedom. Freedom from the entanglements and affairs of this world. Freedom from the labels that the world has placed upon us. Freedom from ourself. Freedom from sickness and disease, fears, torments, infirmities. Freedom, Father. For you are a God that frees his people. And we thank you for the price of Jesus, who busted our chains of bondages, who severed us from slavery of sin and brought us into the everlasting life of righteousness. We thank you for the seal of the Holy Spirit, who guides us, who teaches us, who leads us, who tells us things to come, who empowers us to have dominion, the Spirit of the living Christ that dwells within us. And Lord, we repent for every sin, transgression, and iniquity, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. We repent for coming in agreement with the voice of the stranger and touching unclean things. We repent for rebellion, for trusting in the wrong things and not trusting in you. And we ask for your forgiveness, my Lord. Wash us with the blood, purge us with your presence. Fill us with your Spirit that we may be one with you as we welcome the Holy Spirit to come and take us to the throne room of our Father. As I send forth your word here to each and every one, that by the stripes of Jesus you be made whole, spirit, soul, and in body. For the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now grant us more wisdom. Bring us encouragement. Strengthen our faith and establish our steps and our thoughts, that we may be more like you in truth, spirit, power, image, and likeness. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Give somebody a hug and tell them this is your day. Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly favored. Would you turn to John 10, please? Oh, the sacrifice of praise. Such a simple thing to acknowledge him that he is God. If you proclaim to be a believer and can't praise him, there's something wrong with you. You're not a believer. You're deceived and bound by demonic forces. Because the devil does not want you to sow in the Spirit. So if you get convicted or today, good. Because that's what it's about. You're either to serve him, you're either serving one or the other. You're either serving the Lord or you're serving the devil. If you're serving yourself, you're serving the devil. And there is a sacrifice of praise. And that sacrifice is for you to open your mouth and praise him. Well, I don't feel like it. Too bad. He's not the God of feeling, he's the God of truth. And let me share something with you. As you begin to sow more in the Spirit, the Bible says, draw near to him and he'll draw near to you. If you're waiting on God for him to do something before you praise him, you'll wait and you'll have a comfortable seat in hell. It is the most disrespectful thing that an individual can do to say that they believe in Jesus and not worship him, praise him, or acknowledge him. That's all I have to say about that. Let's go forward. John 10. In verse 7. And Jesus said to them again, what did he say? Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And we will go in and out and find pasture. You know, when nobody answers the door unless you either knock or call. Because nobody knows that you're on the other side of the door unless you do something. So when you praise God, you're on the other side of the door. Hello? And the door automatically opens to you. The Bible says this, the thief does not come except to what? Steal and to kill and to destroy. He says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? More abundantly. More abundantly. Now, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting powers of darkness. And they want to bring discouragement, deception to Satan's greatest weapon. And his fear is power. So sometimes people don't praise God because they're afraid somebody might notice them. And then, of course, there's that fear if you do choose to seek God that you're accountable. Well, you're accountable whether you seek him or not. I want you to know. Because everybody stands before him. Nobody gets past. Nobody gets past him. And in this we know that the powers of darkness, Satan's kingdom, is out to steal, to kill, and destroy. And his purpose is so that you can never fulfill the will of God. Has everybody got it? So he deceives individuals to thinking that they're doing God's will when they're really not. Wasn't Saul thinking he was doing God's will until he got slapped off the horse? Didn't King David say it would be great for the righteous just to slap me? Sometimes we need a Holy Ghost slap to wake up because of the deception. You know, the world is asleep right now, but there is an awakening happening. People are putting false hope, and that's one of the things that the devil does. He comes to bring false hope, hoping in things that are a lie or deception. And then when it doesn't come to pass, devastation. See, he's always trying to misdirect us in hopes or false hopes. Would you turn to Romans 8? Romans 8. Verse 18. Yes. Let's all read this together. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed where? In us. Hallelujah. So you're doing a little suffering. Praise God. You know, the devil's out to steal, kill, and destroy. But if you're dead to yourself, you just got to tell him you can't kill something's already dead. So the suffering that we're going through, things that we're going through, there isn't one believer who's not suffering in something. Listen, self is supposed to be crucified, but you still live with it, sleep with it, you got to carry it around all day long. It's called the flesh. It's always trying to get before you. it's in constant competition with you. That's a part of the suffering itself, is to stay away and come out from among the world. That's just enough suffering alone, besides other things. Aches and pains, sicknesses and diseases, and all the other things that the powers of darkness try to put on upon us. But we're not supposed to be so caught up in those things. If we'll stay caught up in the Lord and keep our hope in him, things are going to turn out right. No matter which way they turn out. They're going to turn out right. As long as you don't lose hope. And verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly what? Waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Everybody say, I'm a son of God. For the creation was subjected to futility not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in what? Hope. Hope. That's called eternal hope. Spiritual hope is supposed to be eternal hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the what? Bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Hallelujah. It's all going to be turned over to us. But first, we need to get turned over. For For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption and the redemption of our body. Yes, that's going to be a glorious day to shed this flesh. Brand spanking new body, man. With no ungodly members. Hallelujah. For we were saved in this what? In this hope. It's called eternal hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he what? Sees. Wow. But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with what? Perseverance. See, it's not that you don't see it. He's talking about that of the natural realm. You're seeing it in the spirit realm because hope is associated with faith. But hope is faith of the future. It's future faith. There is a faith that we need right now. But then there's a faith that is associated with the future. So you're persevering, right? You're going through stuff. You're waiting for God to heal you. Well, you're maintaining faith today, but you have hope that the completion will be established because of what he says, not because of what a doctor says. And hope that you'll come out of debt because God has come to bring life and life more abundantly. But we have faith right now to persevere, that God will bring things for us to get out of debt and hope that debt will be totally washed away. Not that he can't wash it away, because he can. He can heal an individual instantly and wash away your debt instantly. I've seen it happen. But in that, all of these things are an opportunity for training, aren't they? So we can actually root truth. So truth can actually be rooted more and more and more. Is everybody okay? And verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's why it's good to pray in tongues. Because you are making intercession for the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who what? Love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. So if you say you love him, that means you will obey him. In other words, everything comes along with God as we cooperate with him. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. So there is a hope that is an eternal hope. There is a hope that is a spiritual hope that is future. It is something that you and I must always be connected with, because faith is connected with hope. Is everybody with me? Faith of the future is called hope. But one of the things that the devil does is he comes to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. Destroy. Go to Job 27. Job 27. Now I want to share one other thing with you so that we get an understanding here, because this hope that I'm talking about is a what we call a spiritual want or spiritual expectation. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And a representation of that means lack. I shall not lack because he is my shepherd. But there are desires that God gives in you, doesn't he? And those are desires of want, aren't they? It's actually a desire of hope. So this hope that I'm talking about is a spiritual want or expectation. It is not a wish. Hello? People drive by and go to these little fountains and put nickels and dimes in there and wish on something. It's called witchcraft. So if you've ever done that, repent. Because it brings a curse on you and your family line. This hope is a hope that is a spiritual hope. It is a want. It's a desire that God gives you to want, and an expectation. It's an area where you trust and rely on Him. Is everybody okay? It's not a wishing well. In Job 27 and verse 7. Would you read it with me, please? May my enemy be like the wicked, and he who rises up against me like the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite? Though he may gain much, if God takes away his life, will God hear his cry when trouble comes upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call on God? I will teach you about the hand of God. What is with the Almighty, I will not conceal. Surely all of you have seen it. Why then do you behave with complete nonsense? See, there's an area where your conduct is going to show whether there is faith or hope. This is the portion of the wicked man with God, and the heritage of the oppressors received from the Almighty. If his children are multiplied, it is for the sword, and his offspring will not be satisfied with the bread. Those who survive him shall be buried in death, and their widows shall not weep. Is everybody there? Though he heaps what? Up silver like dust, and piles up clothing like clay, he may pile it up, but the just will wear it. Hallelujah. And the innocent will divide the silver. He builds his house like a moth, and like a booth which a watchman makes. The rich man will lie down, but not be gathered up. He opens his eyes, and he is no more. These are called false hopes. They are hopes of a hypocrite. In other words, is the world is a false hope. Things of the world. The powers of darkness try to bring us false hope. Right now, the government is trying to bring us false hope. The government would love you to have their hope in them. And that's all it's going to do, is going to bring destruction. Is everybody okay? It is a world of false hopes. People watch much TV and all kinds of things in the secular arena. And there's all of these hopes that are actually false hopes. And the purpose of these hopes, the devil tries to bring things in our life for fame, prosperity, and power. And all of those things God will bring to us, not the world. Are you listening? And the reason why God exalts someone is so that that person can be a witness to the world. That's why there are football players and so forth and all kind of professionals in many ways. And no matter where you are, it doesn't matter what level you are. As long as you have eternal hope in this area, God will use you. I don't care if you're the head of the toilet cleaners. I don't care where you begin. It doesn't matter. Because the end result is the most important. So he'll exalt you in any way. Exalting you doesn't mean he's going to put your name on billboards. Exalting you means he's going to grant you favor, so that others can see the favor of God in your life. Is everybody okay? Go to Job 31, verse 23. Job 31, verse 23. Would you read it with me? For destruction from God is a terror to me, and because of his magnificence, I cannot endure. If I had made gold my hope, or said to fine gold, you are my confidence, if I have rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gained much, if I had observed the sun when it shines, or the moon moving in the brightness, so that my heart has been secretly enticed, and my mouth has kissed my hand, this also would be an iniquity deserving of judgment, for I would have denied God who is above. That is called false hope, because false hope denies God. Psalm 33. And you know, we're seeing more and more of that. Not only is there a spiritual awakening, but there is much false hope. And the awakening is bringing people true hope. In Psalm 33. Psalm 33 and verse 16. Is everybody there? Let's read it. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a what? Vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who what? Fear Him, reverence Him, worship Him, acknowledge Him, honor Him. On those who what? Hope in His what? Mercy. To deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. Now, there is vain hope, right? But then there is true hope. And then this true hope is eternal hope. It's a spiritual hope. In other words, so many people get confused in the area. Let me explain something. If my daughter was to be sick, I would pray for her healing. I would anoint her. And if nothing manifested right then and there, I don't want her to suffer. So my hope is that the Lord is going to provide whatever it needs for her to get well. Has everybody got it? Whether it be Advil, Tylenol, whatever, or cold medicine, or whatever. But my hope is still in the Lord, no matter what He brings. Has everybody got it? So you cannot put your hope in anything else. You don't put your hope in the treatment. You keep your hope in the Lord. You don't put your hope in your job. You're going to put your hope in the Lord. As long as you don't lose eternal hope, it will not become vain. Is everybody okay? Go to Titus chapter 2. You know, when I was brought up as a believer, one of the things that, you know, was always said is, God will provide. And I believed it. And my hope was that God would provide. And I've seen Him do it over and over and over. But sometimes He provides in a different way that we're not accustomed to, or what we've been told. And when I was saved, I had a lot of debt. And I was told that you cannot file for bankruptcy because God will provide. Well, it was like having to beat dogs down off of my phone, my home, and everything else, because everybody was trying to collect money because of my ungodly lifestyle. But I was born again, and I was a new creation in Christ, and old things have passed away, and all things have become new. And I kept hearing that, and I kept hearing that. I was trying to think of a way to get all kinds of money to pay off all these debts and all kinds of things. And I heard the Lord say, trust me and put your hope in me. So I'm driving down the road and my car dies. And I'm thinking, well, this is a funny way. I've got to trust in you and hope in you. Okay, let's go. What do? Go get gas. All right, you know. So I figured my car was ran out of gas. But it was impossible because I recently just put it in there, but I wasn't going to come against that. So I go into this corner. I walk down about two blocks, and there's a store right there. And I go in there. And I look and they have these, you know, these little thrifty newspapers and so forth. And I look right next to it and it says, bankruptcy. Like, cheap bankruptcy, something to this degree, because I didn't have any money. And I look at that paper, and I mean, it's right in front of me, and I'm going, is this what you're trying to tell me? But I thought we're not supposed to do this. And he says, take the paper. So I took the paper. I went to my car, and it started right up. So I got in the car, and I drove home, and I shared with my wife. I said, you know, I put my trust in God that he's going to provide. I my hope is in him. You know, but I think he's telling me to file bankruptcy so we can get forward and put our hope in him. You know, but I'm so concerned about our credit. I'm so concerned about this. Well, then your hope is not in him. And the Lord says, I want you to use the laws of the land that I've provided. So I filed bankruptcy. Yes, this pastor filed bankruptcy. And I was severed and freed from that debt that just brought me freedom. And it was inexpensive. And when I went to go see this attorney, this guy was a heathen. But he was a backslidden believer, so I got to minister to him too. And everything was done for like $250, something like that. And I thought, wow. And I got to start my life over because one of the things he said, do you want a new life? And I said, yes. Well, I had to put my hope and trust in him then. I was no longer concerned about what the world thought about my credit. If God wanted me to have a house, he'd make it some way. So when Kate and I got remarried, told her to keep her name because my name right now is a little tarnished. So we used her credit. Right, come on, it's wisdom, right? And we were able to start buying homes, praise God. And now my credit is excellent. It only took a little bit, and the Lord just shared with me a couple things to do, and bam, my credit was restored. But understand this, because my hope is, now I'm not asking everybody here to go out and file bankruptcy, all right? You must be led. But see, I was not putting my trust in the world. I was coming out of the world, and debt always keeps you attached to the stinky world. You know, because that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to keep you in debt so you become a slave to money instead of free. And man, we were free. And continued on. And God has been providing ever since. But I'm sharing with you about eternal hope, spiritual hope. A hope in him and not in the world and anything else. So we must come out of the world. We must come out of these things. Stop worrying about what the world's thinking about you. Who cares what Dun and Bradstreet says? I could care less. We stand before God and he's our provider. And he's going to provide in a way where you might not just feel too comfortable. But you asked him to provide, didn't you? You asked for help. He's put a desire in your heart, which is a spiritual want, which is hope, for you to prosper. He says, my thoughts towards you aren't bad. I'm not out trying to take anything from anyone except for the demonic forces that hinder us. He's trying to come to give us something, give us life, life more abundantly. But we must cooperate with him and maintain that hope. And that hope is in him and nothing else. Is everybody okay? Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Oh, I got a lot more stories, you know. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope. Say blessed hope. Blessed hope is eternal hope. It is spiritual hope. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one what? Despise you. So denying ungodliness, God has provided every area so that you and I can walk in an arena to deny ungodliness. Ungodliness hope. False hope. False expectations in these areas. You know why people walk around in such a disdain state? In that is because their expectations are false. They are false hope and they are vain hope. They're false. See, only hearing from God, are you listening? Only hearing from him. The Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing. But even hearing from him, you have a hope. So if he gives you vision, you get a prophecy. Are you listening? You don't chase the vision or prophecy, do you? Your hope is in him to fulfill it. In the meantime, you're walking in faith so that you're doing the things that he's requiring you to do to fulfill what's already been given to you. Even though it's not come yet, it will. As long as you don't lose hope. But the devil will come to steal, kill, and destroy that hope that is attached to the future. And it is faith in the future. And what pleases God? Faith. So there is a blessed hope, a future faith, a want or desire that comes from above. Is called hope. Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, verse 9. Would you read it with me, please? Hebrews 6 and verse 9. But beloved, we are what? Confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end of full assurance. That you do not become what? Sluggish. Ooh. But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the what? Promises. Those are hope in the future. For when God made a promise to Abraham because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself saying, surely blessing I will bless you and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, why? Because he had what? He had hope. He obtained the what? The promise. Oh, glory. There is a full assurance. In other words, you must maintain that hope all the way to the end. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it does not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So we see this hope brings purification. Does everybody got it? This hope brings purification. Why? Knowing that we shall be like him when he appears. Hallelujah. I mean, that alone is enough hope to hold on to all the way to the end. To know that we will be like him when he appears. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse 13. Would you read it, please? And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? So there's an area where we must cooperate. True reality, if you're not cooperating, you don't have hope. You have false hope, vain hope. But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats nor be troubled, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. In other words, individuals are going to see your faith in hope. Having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be what? Ashamed. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for what? For doing evil. So we must maintain a good conduct, a good report, to give someone else hope. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Would you read it? Now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. See, faith, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, we walk by faith, but not by carnal sight, but we walk by spiritual sight. Has everybody got it? So that spiritual sight to you is substance. It's substance. But it's also hope, isn't it? Because it's something future. So that substance is hope. Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? And what pleases God? Faith. Christ, the hope of our future. Romans 5. Here we are in the park on a Sunday. Nice weather, cool breeze. Hallelujah. Just think what it's going to be like home. Now, for those who just thought of your house, you have false hope. Verse 1, Romans 5. Therefore, having been justified by what? Well, praise God. So we know that the hope of his appearance and we being like him purifies us. And we are now justified by what? Faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Hallelujah. Do you glory in your tribulations? Well, three of you do anyways. Knowing that the tribulation produces what? Perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Hope. Now hope does what? Does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been what? Poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Yes. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Oh, glory. So we see that faith justifies. It brings justification. You know, in this, your hope, this hope will not disappoint. If you are truly holding on to this eternal hope, the spiritual hope that is a desire that comes from above, that gives you a want or expectation that's from God, it is called hope. It will not disappoint. as long as you do not let go. But you must cooperate. Is everybody okay? Glory to God. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Is everybody there? Would you read it? By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, and he who gathers by labor will increase. Hope deferred makes the what? Heart sick. And that word deferred is an area where postponed, misled, or disappointed, removed. So hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a what? Tree of life. He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool lays open his folly. A wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. Now, I'm sharing with you one of the things that the Spirit was bringing, because he wants us to know, to discern about the false hopes that the world is giving people right now. Because that hope is going to be deferred. And it's going to cause a lot of destruction. It's going to cause a lot of hurt. It's going to cause a lot of sickness. It's going to cause a lot of shame. Because people are putting their hopes, vain hopes, false hopes, deceptive hopes, in things that are not given from above, but are produced from beneath. And the world is producing much false hope. Believe me, the stimulus package is nothing but false hope. All of these things that the world is giving out is false hope. Everything that the government has touched, it turns to shambles. So nothing's going to change. Now, I'm not against the government. I'm against deception. So please understand that. But one of the deceptions right now that is being produced and let loose is hope, false hope, so that it can be deferred and it can destroy many people. You can never lose that hope, that eternal hope. But you know, faith comes by hearing. So it's important for you to fellowship. It's important for you to be fed by the Word. It's important for you to stay filled with the Spirit of God and not put your hope in anything, especially your bank account, your job, nor man. But keep your hope in the promises of God. Keep your hope in His presence and do His will. The hope of the world will crush the heart of an individual. Go to Psalm 71. Start at verse 1, please. Read it, please. And you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be my strong refuge to which I may resort continually. You have given the commandment to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. And I want to close in Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 24. Let's read verse 24. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to his stewardship from which God was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. The hope of glory. The hope of glory. The purifying hope that says we'll be just like him when he appears. The faith that justifies all that eternal future hope that comes from above, that imparts in us a desire and a want, a promise to hold on to all the way to the end. Don't let go. He is faithful to complete what he started. Keep your eyes on him, your hope in him, your trust in him. Maintain and cry out to increase your faith. Ask for wisdom. Ask for discernment. You have not because you ask not. And watch hope come to pass and become manifested in your life, where it now increases your faith. That you can go forward. Do not get caught up in the false hope of the world, but stay maintained in the eternal hope of glory. And to God be all the glory. Now, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We are honored and blessed. I apply the blood of Jesus on this seed, and I ask that it will grow and bear fruit for your glory. Establish your image, likeness, your kingdom in each and every one here today. And prepare our hearts for communion. The hope of promise, the hope of glory, and the hope of eternal life. Because our hope is in you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.